Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast where we discuss tips, tricks, and current topics related to all things in the blind and partially sighted community. Now, it is my pleasure to introduce the founder of Blind Beginnings and your host, Sean Marcellet, and whatever co-host is on this week. Now, here's your host, Sean.
I'm Sean Marcellet, and you're listening to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. And my co-host today is Randy. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Sean. Hi, everyone. Welcome and welcome back, hopefully.
So today we're talking to Whitley Point, who is a yoga and fitness instructor who also happens to have a visual impairment. Welcome, Whitley.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is a good morning. We had a workout with you this morning. So I'm feeling pretty good. I don't know. How are you feeling, Randy?
I'm undecided. better than immediately afterwards, because during the workout, I ended up getting a bit of a migraine. Not sure if that was, you know, just brought out by the workout or if it was already coming. But since then, it's mostly gone now. I have had some food and stuff, so I'm feeling a bit better that way. We had another class with this last week, and so I felt a little bit better than I did than that week. So
right. It's getting better slowly.
Potentially.
Yeah. Whitley's a hard instructor, and I actually really appreciate that, because I feel like some of the programs I have done previously that were kind of catered to people with a disability of some kind go too easy, I feel like. And I feel like, Whitley, you're not lowering the bar for us, which I mean, it's brutal. It's tough, definitely. But that's kind of how it is.
In training, when I obviously disclose that I have a visual impairment, right, because it affects, you know, how I learn things, how I have to be accommodated, they didn't make anything easier on me, you know, except the things that obviously were out of my control. And just going into any kind of fitness classes, just because we have a visual impairment doesn't mean that we can't eventually do 100 burpees, right? So what's the point of making that easier for you?
Totally. You don't do burpees on your eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Ouch. Wow. So let's back up a bit. Can you tell us a little bit about your vision? What is your level of vision, and how does that impact you kind of navigating?
I have no vision in my right eye, and probably about like maybe 60-70% in my left eye. So I have been fortunate enough to basically be able to do everything normally, obviously except drive. That's not something that I'm comfortable doing. But for the most part, I try not to let it affect my day to day. I do have to wear glasses, obviously, not when I'm working out or doing yoga, but I try to not let that limit me. My family has always taught me that I can do whatever I put my mind to. It doesn't matter what someone's ability or disability is. There's always some kind of accommodation, and to always shoot for the stars and do what you want to do and don't let anything hold you back. So that's always kind of been my mindset, and anything that I'm putting my mind towards, whether that be becoming a yoga and fitness instructor or working academically. I also just graduated out of the Bachelor of Business program at UFB. So that had its own challenges as well, but just always remembering that I can do anything I put my mind to. And so can all of you.
Yeah. So where did the interest in fitness come from? Were you always athletic?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I always grew up, my mom put me in dance classes. Like I was in ballet, tap dancing, stuff like that. When I got into high school, I kind of went more in the musical direction and kind of got out of that. And then after high school, it actually happened when I started university and I was realizing that things were getting a little bit stressful and I needed some kind of outlet again for that. And so I found Bikram yoga, which was really popular a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And there was a studio really close to my house. And because I walk everywhere, that was really convenient to me. So I was going to Bikram a lot, and that's a 90-minute series. And that kind of got me back in shape. And then I ventured out into other different types of yoga and other different types of heated fitness. And then in 2017, I was actually hit by a car while I was crossing the street. So yoga really helped me after that, because I was given a prescription for a lot of painkillers that I did not want to take. So I spent a lot more time at the studio doing a lot of slower paced classes just to help me get that mobility, that flexibility back without necessarily just putting a band-aid on this pain. And that's kind of how I interpreted just getting these prescriptions and not actually getting to the root of the problem. So kind of finding it through using it as something to get rid of stress, and then also for my physical body after I dealt with that accident.
That's cool. So, I mean, it's a good point that you don't have to be an Olympic athlete to do yoga. There's, you know, huge variation from recovering from an injury to like serious, I don't know, 90-minute hot class.
Right?
And everything in between.
So you were always a little bit interested, and then you had your accident, and then, but how did you, what was the transitioning point, I guess, of when you went from just doing yoga to thinking about actually becoming an instructor for it?
Okay. So it's kind of like an obsession that grows. I think once you start working out and doing yoga every day, there's like a pinnacle where at first you're like, oh God, I got to roll out my mat. Like, oh God, I got to go to the gym or whatever it is. And then one day eventually you wake up and you're like, I can't wait to do this. This is the only thing I want to do. And, you know, I was still in school when I took the course, and originally I thought that it would just be something that I would do until I was done my degree, or maybe just on the side. But I'm actually, it's really changing my life, and there's a lot in yoga that goes far beyond just the physical asana, so the physical poses that we're doing, a lot of internal growth and acceptance and awareness of what's going on mentally. And it's just been a really good support for getting through life, essentially.
I've tried yoga in the past. My first real introduction to it was I was in grade 8, and my at the time French immersion teacher, she was also a certified yoga instructor, and so she started a like before class yoga session just like about 7 a.m. before school started, and it was mm-hmm. It was really nice in the sense of like it's very relaxing. But then the downfall of that is that you get to class and you want to go to sleep because you're just so relaxed. Mm-hmm. And that was like for that year, and then I think she moved away that year or at the end of that year, so it didn't continue. And then like I've sort of done a couple of you know YouTube videos at home, but I'm not the most athletic of people. I'm more the kind of like I do hula dancing and stuff, which is a good workout, but it's kind of disguised, I guess. It's not your traditional workout. And I think that's more my vein of my style of exercise is not like, yeah, let's do 100 more sit-ups. You know, it's more of like, you know, let's dance. And like, it's a hard, you'll get lower and, you know, you're still working muscles. You're still tired, but, you know, it's a little more fun. But I haven't set foot in any style of gym in, since high school, so let's not list how many years that is.
But Randy was saying that those squatting poses were easier for her because of all the hula dancing, right? Like
you're right, yeah, because squat. A lot of that movement is bent legs, almost as low as you can go is the goal, as you're then, you know, moving side to side, and your upper body is supposed to stay, basically, like, you're not supposed to sway with it. Your upper body is supposed to be, like, isolated from your hips and your lower body. So, yeah, and obviously, like, everyone's going to have different, everyone's going to have different things that they're, or that they find easier or harder, you know, anything ab or core related, not great.
Struggle.
But yeah, certain arm motions or, you know, bent leg motions and stuff like that, I find easier because of past experiences and things with dance. And then I also did 6 years of karate when I was in late elementary, middle school. And that was a lot of, you know, bent legs.
Fun, probably.
While you're moving.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Whitley, what's your least favorite pose? What's your weakness? Do you have one? Is it all easy for you now?
No, not at all. Balancing is probably, yes. You can relate to that too. Balancing is really difficult for me. There's a lot of, I don't know if you remember, when we do a pose, I'll say like level one, you know, variation, level two, level three. If you've ever noticed in any of the balancing I put in those classes, which is not very much, mm-hmm. because I am not that great at it, I'll usually only give the level one variation because I can only do the level one variation. And I know that's something in teaching that takes a lot to grow yourself, because it's still our job to teach people variations of something, even if we can't do it. And that's something I'm trying to work towards. But yeah, I would definitely say balancing is hard.
I totally agree. And actually, I've really appreciated that the Blind Beginnings classes we're doing don't have a lot of that whole, let's stand on one leg for a long time and move the rest of our body all over the place.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Really hard. Yes. So what about Pilates? So I hadn't ever done Pilates until just this last month.
No, I'm a complete noob to that too.
Yeah. So what about you, Whitley? When were you introduced to Pilates? And is that all part of, if you're a yoga instructor, you have to do that too? Or is that a choice? Or how does that work?
So the studio that I go to, they offered a Pilates fusion class. And once my physio told me that I could start doing higher impact things rather than just like your yin yoga classes, like slow paced, I started going to Pilates because it's a higher intensity, but it's still low impact. So if you have any kind of ailments, it's generally a lot softer on you. Like, you're not doing any crazy jumping movements or like anything that's really, really hard on your knees.
Right.
So that's kind of what drew me to that. And then also just how actually toning it is. It's really good for your core, your shoulders, building endurance. A lot of people think that it's kind of just like a little girly thing to do, but it's a lot of kinetics, right? It is a lot of strength building.
Yeah, I was saying this morning, like, it feels like you are sculpting your body one tiny muscle group at a time.
Yeah, a lot of isolation, right?
Too. Yes, yeah. And you get some serious burn happening.
And I hadn't really noticed, like, I've never really known much about Pilates at all anyways prior to this, but I hadn't noticed that it's a lower impact until you pointed it out. But then thinking back, I was like, yeah, because I am a person that I have some knee problems. I have some hip problems. I have one leg that's over 3 centimeters longer than the other. So anything that's, I still have to figure out every exercise, how
to suit your body, right?
Reshift my weight and things, because if I center myself, one leg gets tired and cramped up faster than the other because one's supporting more weight, just as the way it stands. You know, I do have lifts in most of my walking and work shoes, but sometimes shoes get in the way of certain exercises, so then I take them off. But, you know, so adapting as we go. But I just, when you pointed out that it's a lower impact, I know that I realized, oh yeah, that sounds good. That's a good thing.
Well, I also liked it for, you know, right now we're having to do everything online and having to do it from home, and not everybody has like a big, nice open gym space to jump around and do exercise, right? So like right. the fact that
or
we can
equipment.
Do, yeah, the fact or that any, we can yeah. do our whole workout on one yoga mat, like without
I don't
having
even have
to,
a yoga mat,
right? But I mean, like the space,
yes,
you don't need a ton of space, and you can still work your entire body, which is kind of great, and not also get disoriented and crash into the other things that are in your basement if you're me. Kids
good
bikes
point, though.
And
yeah,
treadmill.
It's a good point if you're in a confined space that you don't want to, you know, okay, do circles with your arms, whack.
Yeah.
Or you know, into some hard object.
You bend down to touch your toes and you whack your face on the freezer
Mash.
Or something. Like it could get ugly.
I've done that with a wall before.
Yeah,
straight into
too.
The wall.
Totally. So let's talk about just COVID and like how did that impact you? You're obviously working in a gym or in a studio. And now you like what's happened through all of this for you, Whitley?
So it was a little bit stressful at the beginning, I think, just as it was for everybody. But as a yoga teacher, I am a contractor and a subcontractor. So it was a little bit confusing with the whole CERB EI, like what's going to happen, because fitness, anything fitness related was kind of the first thing to be shut down. And then like one of the last things to reopen. So mm-hmm. There was a lot of uncertainty at that beginning time. But thinking of it in a glass half full kind of way, I did come into some new opportunities. I was doing a lot of traveling around to different corporations and different studios, and that poses as a little bit of an obstacle for me as an individual with a visual impairment. I rely a lot on transit, right? So that put a lot of strain on kind of where I could and could not go. And this pandemic kind of opened my eyes to these virtual possibilities. And it's funny because I have a lot of friends that have a lot of yoga programming and they do a lot of things online, and that never even occurred to me until this happened, and how that would really suit my life a lot better and take a lot of stress off me. And it mm-hmm. has. So in a way I'm actually really grateful. And you know, now that we're kind of coming out of this, I'm feeling really positive and really ready to give back to my community and reach more people that I maybe wasn't able to ever reach prior to this.
So do you think that going forward, once everything is allowed to reopen, will you continue with online things, or you know, mix it up a little bit of each, or what are your what do you think might happen?
Well, I do really like having the nice mix of things, because as it stood before this pandemic started, I was only teaching in hot studio. So that could be anywhere from 4 to 6 hours a day. So I would often come home and like my entire body would just be cramping up. Because that infrared heat is good for you, but just the amount that an instructor is in that heat might not be good for you. So I felt like having this balance will just be better for me in the long run as well, and keep me from burning out, because it is quite a tiring profession. Like you really do have to be in love with it to do it. So I think having a nice balance of doing some of these virtual things as well as being in the studio is going to be better.
I'm curious about challenges that you're facing. I mean, well, I'm curious in the class setting, does your visual impairment cause a problem or a challenge? But also now that we're online and you can't necessarily see your your, what do you call them, students, mm-hmm. even if you could see them, you can't see them. So how has that been for you? Is it, you know, frustrating or?
When I'm physically in the studio teaching, it's a little bit different because I would say members kind of flock to their instructor that they like.
Yes.
So like a lot of people that come to my classes like know how I teach and are quite familiar with the things that I do, even if it's not necessarily the same every single time. Like I have the same style of moves generally each class. And for me particularly, I have been to some yoga and fitness classes where it really didn't seem like the instructor was all that cognizant of proper form and alignment and making sure that nobody was injured. So even taking out the aspect of having a visual impairment, that is something that's really, really important to me because I come into this with pre-existing injuries that can be irritated. And I know that lots of other people have these kinds of things that they're worried about. So for me, when I'm teaching in person, I'm always walking around regardless. So I think that kind of just helps with having a visual impairment because I'm walking around anyways. So if there's anything going around, I'm going to walk around and I'm going to see it.
Yeah. Okay. So you will like physically adjust somebody if they've got something not quite right, which I
Or even if I'm just looking around the room and I'm seeing like a common mistake that a lot of people are making, then I'll just announce something.
Right. Okay. So when you're doing an online class, are you finding that that's, are you worried about that? That you can't really see how people are doing, whether they've got
I am a little bit worried about it. You know, I think the most important thing is that we're having fun, but also that we're staying safe. And I think having a, breaking it down now into a beginner's class where everything is nice and slow, and I can really go over, this is the placement that our body is supposed to be in, this is what it's supposed to feel like. That gives me a lot more ease going into these faster paced classes where we're online and I'm not able to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're, and also there's always the opportunity at the end of every class for people to ask questions. So I think, you know, it's kind of that general, like on the positive side, nobody can see you. So if you're doing it wrong or you're embarrassed or you have to quit halfway through because you just run out of steam, like you're off the hook.
Totally. Yeah, you don't necessarily feel quite as judged as a,
yeah, as if as you're a participant. In a class.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then the downside is, yeah, like, uh-oh, am I doing this right? But then you can wait till the end and kind of be like, how do you do this? But I know for me, like, I can't see what the instructor's doing or what the person beside me is doing even in a class.
So it doesn't make that big difference, right?
No, but I did find when I was learning that I did go to the same instructor every week because, and every time I was there, I learned a bit more, you know, I got a bit more. So in the beginning, I probably only got half of it right. But, you know, after a few months, I was probably doing everything the way I was supposed to. So you sort of just build on what you know, and it is a process, which I feel like yoga is a process anyway, right? Like it is more than just the physical workout. It's kind of the being patient with yourself, and that's always my intention. Every time the instructor says, what's your intention? Think of what your intention is for today's class. It's always to be patient with myself, which I need to do on the mat and off. So,
yeah. Right. And then these things that we learn about ourselves and that we try to work on for ourselves on our mat, we bring that with us with the rest of our lives, you know, what else we're doing outside of the mat. So,
yeah, totally. I'm also curious about, you said you just finished a business degree. So what is, like, what's your plan for the future?
You're going to And congratulations on that, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, guys. My plan, so I actually have a lot of credentials. So I've been going to school a long time. I actually never really took a break out of high school. So I have a
I have a diploma in social work, a certificate in communications, and a degree in business now, along with my yoga certification. So now that I'm finally done school, this is the first time in my entire life that I'm not going to school, right? So I'm just really enjoying putting all of my energy into teaching and helping people and just learning more about myself. Now that I'm done learning about all these different educational subjects, I want to put some time into me and teaching. And yeah,
wow,
I'm just going with the flow right now.
that's like hugely varied education, from social work to communication,
yeah,
to fitness to business. Like, that's
I really didn't know what I wanted to do.
Wow. Cool. So, I mean, this is like totally going off topic, but I'm just curious, like, but you still completed each of those. Like,
I did.
did you realize partway through, this isn't really for me, but I'm just going to finish it because I'm a committed person?
That's exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. I was like, wow. Mama didn't raise no quitter. I'm going to finish this anyways, even though I know it's not really what I want to do.
Wow. That's so interesting.
Yeah. But well, I think there's a connection there between the social work, because when I finished that program, I realized it would be too hard for me. Like, I think I'm a too empathetic person. I would just take too much of that home with me. So when I went into business, my major is human resource management, and it's kind of like the social work of the business world.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
So I'm really excited to get into that, actually.
Cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Obviously you've grown a lot and you're multi-talented.
So, you know, now that you're doing, well, probably all or any classes right now online, and then in the future we'll be continuing some potentially, you know, there's also lots of like YouTube videos of similar stuff out there. What do you think for like the students is, you know, the benefit of one versus the other, you know, being that if you can't see them, you can't help them, you know, adjust them if they're doing something wrong. What's, you know, is it still any better to have a live instructor than a YouTube tutorial?
I think there is, in the sense that, so if we are talking about, let's use the beginner's class as an example that we do with Blind Beginnings. This class is open communication. So we go through things, and when I feel like we've gone through something that, you know, might be a little bit unclear or might have some gray area to it, I stop and I open dialogue, and we have that back and forth communication and things become clear. And then also at any time, anybody can ask a question. So I think that in itself is really great. Along with, I like to explain it as, so YouTube videos are kind of like, so my boyfriend is a chef. He is a
lucky you,
like a Red Seal chef. I know, it's so he's a Red Seal chef. I really enjoy watching the cooking channel. He hates it, and he's like, this is literally like dumbed down,
right,
for everybody watching. And then they cut out some important portions just to make it seem easier and accessible to everyone. And that really resonated with me. And that's kind of the same thing with those yoga videos. Like, sure, they're great and they're great substitutions, but you're not actually getting the whole juicy bit of a class. Because they're usually only like 20 minutes anyways, right? And you go to a class, you're going to be there for an hour. You're going to build a connection with somebody. Not that they're not great. And if you want to get your body moving, and maybe if you're new, you know, I would say check them out. But
yeah,
definitely
like
that good connection.
They're good aids to go along with it if that's what you have access to. But like, that, you know, those, you can still benefit a lot from live instruction, even over the internet.
Yeah. Exactly. And then a big thing there is safety too, right? Because if you don't have someone to bounce your questions and ideas off of, or you're unsure of something, how are you going to check in with that? How are you going to get the answer? And then what if you begin to move in an unsafe way that could potentially lead to injury or something, right?
For me, my studio that I was going to before COVID has offered online or YouTube videos, classes we can, and I did a couple at the beginning, and it was awesome to be able to hear my instructor's voice, but I actually found it a little depressing at the same time. Just in fact, one of the days, just at the beginning of the class, as soon as I heard her voice, I started crying, because I was just like, I miss that time of like going,
my mom and I
would go to yoga together, and we'd have our mats beside each other, and we'd do the class, and so I feel like your classes, Whitley, have become my preference. I'm not going to those videos now because, for one thing, there's no accountability. It's just me. If I give up halfway through, nobody knows. Whereas in our class, you know, at the end, we're all going to connect. And I mean, maybe nobody knows, but I feel like an obligation to the group or something. Like that accountability helps me keep going and get through this. And I want to feel the pain that everyone else is feeling so that I can empathize.
Whatever works for you. I use little mind tricks on myself in a lot of different areas of my life just to make myself either, you know, feel better about something or just make it more practical.
So just to, so that our listeners kind of know what the scoop is, we're doing in June a Foundations of Yoga program once a week, and that is just really breaking down kind of the main yoga poses, and then an intermediate yoga class as well once a week, and then the plan in July is to switch to the Foundations of Pilates for 4 weeks, and then on Saturdays we have our family fitness class. And I really like, family means Blind Beginning supports the whole family, and to me that's like, if you're a parent or you're a sibling or you're the child or youth with the visual impairment, anybody's welcome. It's a really good workout.
Or a friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Even a friend. Yeah.
You can choose your own family.
You don't have to come with a family member, but you can, if you know, there's multiple people in your family that want to do this, or if you just want it, it's a way to get fit in a group and have some accountability and some support. So, so far I think it's been great.
Hard, but good.
Yes, it is hard.
But well, there's no growth without any challenge, right? You can't grow unless you're uncomfortable. And I just try to remind everybody that as I'm kicking their butts.
Yes. And also with any new exercise, it's always hard at the beginning. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. And so, yeah. And I know this has been a weird time for everybody. And sometimes I was definitely feeling a challenge to motivate myself in the beginning, but having this class and knowing that I got to show up, and I, of course, I sort of have to show up, but job to exercise now, which is so great. But now twice a week, I have no excuse. I got to
begin.
So personally, I love it.
I was also going to ask if you have any advice for beginners like myself and probably, hopefully, many others that will end up joining the classes upcoming. Any, I guess, motivational words?
You know, I always just want to remind any of my students, you know, just don't be too hard on yourself. Everybody starts somewhere. And the great thing about your yoga practice is it will always meet you wherever you are, whatever level you're at, you know, even or how you're feeling that day. There's always a modification. There's always a variation that can suit your body and your needs. And yoga is just really great for whatever fitness level you're at. And I just encourage everybody to give it a try, and hopefully it'll reach some people like it has reached us.
Let's all get fitter together, fitter and healthier and more patient. I don't know. Nicer, fitter, healthier,
yeah,
and
yeah,
nicer.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Whitley. I really appreciate all of your instruction, and can't wait for next week.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, you guys.
So if you're interested in checking out one of Whitley's classes, Wednesday afternoons, 3:45 to 4:45 is our foundations class. 5 to 6 is our intermediate class. And then Saturday mornings at 11 a.m., and that's going to run all the way through the summer, is our family fitness class, which is currently Pilates. You know, we're open to feedback. We've got a multi-talented instructor who can lead us in many different kinds of workouts. For more information, visit our website, blindbeginnings.ca, and all the details are there on how you can register and start working out with us. You've been listening to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast, and we hope you'll tune in next week for another episode. Thanks to my co-host, Randy, and our guest, Whitley.
Thanks, Whitley. Thanks, Sean. Good to see you guys.
For more information on Blind Beginnings and its mission to inspire and support children and youth who are blind or partially sighted and their families, visit www.blindbeginnings.ca.